So how hot has it been? So hot. But spare a thought for our Aussie friends. Oh, my goodness. It's like 20 degrees hotter over there. And I can't help but think, you know, first in the natural, then in the spirit. And I'm thinking, man, there's going to be a spiritual heat wave coming. Maybe it's going to start in Aussie and move over here, because in the natural, that's what's happening. Like, it's going to get really hot as of tomorrow. But, you know, God does stuff first in the natural, and that we see things, and then they erupt into the spiritual. It's like the natural realm prophesies to what God is about to do. So, you know, there's been fires around the place in different countries, and man, I'm just getting ready for some spiritual fire. How good is that? So this year, 2019, we're into it. We've hit the ground running, and we're going to take some notes today. Are you ready to take some notes? Because when we write down the stuff, even if we never revisit it, it still helps us retain it, because we capture the thought, we apply the principle, and we reap the benefit. So the title today is Taking Steps of Faith and Courage. Father, we pray you'd speak to us through your beautiful word. We love your word. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you speak to us and you make it even quicken it. You can't make it come alive to us by your Spirit. And, Lord, we pray you would do that today and you would speak to every heart here. Open all of our hearts to you, Lord, and to the sound of your voice. Not my words, your words, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and look them in the eye and sing to them, "Welcome home. See, you made a place for me now." Because church is home, it's family. It's great to see you. Okay, this year, 2019, here we go. I believe this year, in 2019, God is calling us individually and as a church to take steps of faith and courage. Are you ready for that? Because now is the time for us to do just that. In the next month, as you've heard on the church news, as a church, we're planning three new initiatives. The first one is our third campus in North, in Omokoroa. The second new initiative is the Alpha Course. And the third new initiative is C3 College. So we're into new things. And God has got new things also specifically for Coast as a church whānau as well. And it's exciting. Youth has been pioneered in the last 6 months by Josh and DJ and also Sam. And so lots of stuff is happening. Mainly Music was pioneered, was it 2.5 years ago? With Andrea and her team, and that's growing huge. I mean, lots of stuff is happening, and I'm believing God. I would love it, Lord, if this year could be the year that we could get the building out here in Papamoa. Please, Lord. Hopefully that was prophetic, but anyway. These are exciting times. These are pioneering days. These are not times to be sitting on the couch all night long watching Netflix. These are not days to be staying safe and retreating to our comfort zone. These are days to step up and serve the Lord. Because there's a harvest to be reaped in Papamoa, in the city, in the bay, in this nation. And God always calls us to step out in faith and in courage. And there are opportunities all around us. Not only in church, but all around us to serve God by serving people in the office, in your street, in your school. And let's remember and live every day with the thought that when we get to heaven, we've got to give an account to Jesus, who's on the throne, of how we use this life that he gave us, of how we use this new year, 2019, that he gave us, of how we've used our time for him. So we've got to seize this day. Before it starts, we've got to seize this year. We've got to capture this moment. We've got to use our time productively for him, because time is running out, could run through our fingers. And none of us are getting any younger. There's a few youthies over here, but none of us are getting any younger. None of us are getting any younger. The day to serve God is now. And in a new year, God often speaks to us individually about new things to start and old things to give up. Now, a lot of the stuff does roll over from the year before and stay the same. It's not like, oh, it's a new year. Let me adopt out all my children and have some fun. No, we keep a lot of the same stuff. But God is into our spiritual growth. So he usually does also speak to us about new things, because he wants us to be continually growing. So what is it that the Lord is prompting you to do this year? Maybe you're pretending you haven't heard him because you're scared and you're like, Because you don't want to hear what he's saying because you're scared that it might be God and you're going to have to do it. And you're like, oh, what if, God, what if I try and do it and it bombs? What will people think? What will they all say? But you know what? It's a sad day when we're more concerned about what people think than about what the Lord thinks. Who are we serving here? Other people's opinions? Our own reputation? Or the Lord Almighty? And God Almighty is not one to be ignored. He is one to be obeyed. Of all the voices in this universe that we need to tune into and listen to, the Lord's is the main one. Of all the commands to obey, His is first and foremost. He is not one to dismiss or ignore. He is the King over all kings and the Lord over all lords. And when He speaks, we get up and go. When He says jump, we say how high, because we are warriors in His army. We are under His authority. And I would rather obey God and have a go, whatever the outcome is, than to play it safe and not ever try anything because I'm too scared that I might get it wrong. And it is fear that stops us every time from stepping out. Fear immobilizes us. Fear renders us useless. It freezes us. It makes cowards of us all. And did you know, if you look in Revelation 21, verse 8, the first group of people who are going to be thrown into the lake of fire, do you know who they are? It's the cowardly. The cowardly. They are the first ones who are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Oh, that was a sobering thought right there, wasn't it? So in 2019, there is one thing we cannot afford to do, and that is to play it safe. We can never just live hiding under the bed all our lives because it's safe. We've got to do our part while we can to build the kingdom of God in our city and in our nation and on this planet. So whatever it is that God is saying to you to do, it's going to take a step of faith and courage. And in a moment, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 1 and look at some people who took some steps of faith and courage. And you know, we just need to plant that seed. Do you know, it took steps of faith and courage to plant this campus 4 years ago. Do you know you're going to be 4 years old, Coast, in about 3 weeks on the 15th of February? 4 years old, that is awesome. It took steps of faith to do that. And it takes steps of faith to do all of these things. It took steps of faith for Josh and DJ and Sam to plant the youth here 6 months ago and for Andrew and her team to plant Mainly Music. It always takes steps of faith and courage. It took faith and courage to do this building reno that we've been doing at City in the last 2 years. But how much more steps of faith and courage did it take to step out 40 years ago and buy the land when it was avocado orchard? And, you know, if those people, if Pastor Phil and Audrey Collis were still in our church and they just had their 65th wedding anniversary a week ago, if they hadn't have gone and bought that thing when they had no money and hardly any people and built that huge building, which was way bigger than they needed, we would be in an avocado orchard when you come over at nights, every Sunday night. We'd be sitting under the avocados with a few rats probably. But we stand on the shoulders of giants, faith giants of the past. Their generation did great things, but what's our generation going to do? I'll tell you what we're not going to do, and that's nothing. We're not going to do nothing. We are going to do something. You know, the worst thing we could do as a church is like, oh, well, we've had a busy 4 years. We've planted Coast and we've done a building reno. And let's just sit back and relax and let's get those Victor and the girls in that cafe to just make us another latte. And let's just chill. We can never just chill because Jesus told us to work while it is yet day because night is coming when no one can work. I'm excited about for what God has got for us as a church, but also for you individually in 2019. We've got to work while it is yet day. And we've got Kids Go Wild coming up, which is going to be a huge outreach to a whole community out here on the field. There's awesome stuff. But I've got a question for you personally today. What is God prompting you to do in 2019? It's going to be different to the person next to you. It could be apply for that job. Put an offer in on that house. Ask your friend at work to come to Alpha with you on Tuesday nights. Exercise regularly to get fit and lose weight. Don't elbow anyone. Start coaching that team. Get on a roster serving at church. Launch that business. Ask that girl out. Oh, who said that? Apply for that training course. Leave home. And all the parents said, yes, in Jesus' name, amen. Set up a flat. Join C3 College on Tuesday nights for leadership training. Ask your friend at school to come to youth camp with you. Bring your neighbor's kids to church with you. Have another baby. Read through the whole Bible in a year. Stand for election at that sports club or the board of trustees at your kid's school. Do a missions trip. Or it may be something else entirely, but what is it God is saying to you personally, individually, for this year? Because whatever it is that God is telling you, you'll know it's God, because when God speaks, it doesn't go away. It keeps coming. And you think, oh, just ignore it. But then it keeps coming. And then it comes back again. You ignore it. A few months later, it's still there. You go around the mountain one more time, and then God speaks you about it again. You know that it's God if it doesn't go away. And with his help, you can do it. You know you can do it. Tell the person next to you, you can do it. Oh, yeah. Take that step of faith and courage. Now, before we get into Joshua 1, I'm just going to say this. Do you know what? We often dismiss God's voice, because what he seems to be telling us to do seems a bit scary for us or a bit hard. And we think, well, that can't be God. God is loving and he loves me and he would only lead me into nice, safe, easy things. Really? I find personally from experience, the scarier it is, the more likely it is that it is God. Because God is big and he thinks big. And he sees the big picture, and he is our dad, and he is committed to moving us onward and upward. He is committed to us fulfilling our maximum potential. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus is really into movement and momentum. He loves the word go. Two-thirds of God's name is go. He was always telling people where to go. Literally, I counted 45 times, I got my old Strong's concordance out, and counted 45 times in the Gospels where Jesus said go at the start of a sentence, usually as a direct command to someone, not just as a little word in the middle of a sentence. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and show yourselves to the priests, now you're healed. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam and then you'll be healed. Jesus told people where to go in a good way. Jesus didn't sit around. He was on a mission from God, and so are we. So what is it Jesus is telling you to go and do this year? Because there will be something. I want to encourage you to take that step of faith and courage. And today we're going to look at two guys who did just that. Joshua in the Old Testament and Peter in the New Testament. And we're going to look at their names. You know, it's important to get names right. You should find out what your name means. It might be prophetic. But we want to get names right. You know, you hear about the guy who went into the cafe and the girl had how people have name badges on. And hers said trainee. And he said, oh, hi trainee. Nice name. And she said, it's trainee. So it's important to get names right. Okay. You know, Joshua means salvation and Peter means rock. And actually, they're both names of Jesus. He is our rock and he is our salvation. And I think there may even be a psalm where it has both those terms together. He is our rock and our salvation. But let's look in Joshua 1. I'm going to read to you Joshua 1 verse 1 to 7. Here we go. I believe God is actually speaking this to us as a church prophetically today. Here we go, Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. So Moses is dead. Moses represents something very good and very godly, but it's now a different season, and Moses is dead and gone. So what was good and what was godly was awesome, but now it's over at this point in time. Billy Graham, what an amazing man of God, but he's gone now. Who's going to reach the lost now? We are. 2018 may have been an incredible year spiritually with miracles and growth, but it's over. It is gone. It's now a new year, a new time, a new day, and God is calling Joshua to rise up. So I believe looking through this, we could even see Moses as what is over. It's been good, but it's past. It could be 2018. Moses is like 2018, it's dead, and it's a new day, and we've got to do something. And God is calling Joshua, who is new, unproven, and is about to step up. And I think that's kind of like us. Maybe new, unproven, unsure, haven't done it before, but about to step up. So this is what it says in other versions. I've read to you in the NIV. Verse 2 in other versions, Moses is dead. The King James says, therefore arise. And the New Living says, Moses is dead, therefore the time has come for you. The Message says, Moses is dead, get going, cross this Jordan. The Amplified says, Moses is dead, therefore arise to take his place. Moses may be dead, but God's purpose is still very much alive. And it's Joshua's turn now. It's our time. Joshua must arise to finish what Moses began. And God is wanting us to arise to finish what he started last year. 2018 is dead, so arise, get ready. The time has come for you. Get going, cross over, do what God is speaking to you to do in 2019. You know, if I read that again and put 2018 in there instead of Moses, 2018 is dead. So then now you and all these people, get ready to cross over into the land I'm about to give you to the people of God. I will give you every place you set your foot. As I promised in 2018, your territory will extend. And it goes on to talk about from dry places to fruitful places, all the country. As I was with you in 2018, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you, but be strong and very courageous. That is what we have got to do. Be strong and very courageous. Listen to these promises. God is saying to us today, every place you walk or tread or place your foot will be yours. He has given it to us. But we have to do something to receive it. He's given us like the title deed of his promises, but it's up to us to possess it. We actually have to get up and go and move in. We have to get up and inhabit it. In order to fully own it, we have to take it and occupy it. And he is promising us to be with us wherever we go. He said he won't fail us. He won't forsake us. He said no one will be able to stand up against us all the days of our life. And we're going to divide this land for an inheritance for the people of God. That's the promises he's just given us in Joshua chapter 1. But we've got to continue serving God with the strength that he has given us in this year in 2019. And he says three times in this chapter, be strong and very courageous. That's why it's going to take steps of faith and courage. Why did God say that to Joshua? Because there were many obstacles in his way. There were giants. There were big boys, bigger than they'd ever seen. There was a Jordan River right in front of them. It was in flood. There were huge walls around the city, so thick you could drive a chariot. These things were intimidating to the people of God, yet God told them they could do it. And God wouldn't have told them they could do it if he didn't know that they could do it. God wanted them to do it. God is commanding them to do it, and they did do it in the strength that God gave them. They took a step of faith and courage and had a go for God. You know, if Joshua played it safe, if Joshua had submitted that ram's form and followed all the OSH regulations, they would never have gone into the promised land, and we would not have Israel on our world map today. But he did it. He had a go. Life is too short for us to play it safe. Life is too short to be a perfectionist. Well, I don't want to try something new because, well, I might make a mistake. And what if I get it wrong? What if you get it right? We've got to get over this fear of failure, people. Failure is not always bad. The path to success is often fraught with many failures. Here's a quote from Peter Marshall, a great American preacher who lived over 100 years ago in New York. He said, "It is better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail." It's better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. We are serving the greatest cause there ever has been, the cause of Christ. Did you know that many hugely successful people began with a few failures? Henry Ford, the guy who made all of those cars, the father of the Ford cars, the father of cars, he forgot to put a reverse gear in the first car he made. Albert Einstein, that great genius, his PhD dissertation was turned down by the University of Bern, who labelled it as irrelevant and fanciful. And Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb and many other things, once spent $2 million on an invention that was a flop. And Winston Churchill, that great liberator and leader of Britain during World War II, his teacher wrote on a sixth form school report, "A conspicuous lack of success." Yet these four men went on to change history. Thank God they didn't give up when they experienced a bit of failure. Or else we would have had ridden a horse here today or walked and be sitting in the candlelight or in the dark right now. We'd be practically Amish. Thank God for these guys. Maybe it was the failures they experienced that spurred them on to do better. Winston Churchill, one of those four, he said, "Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." Do you know, my husband Alan and I have been leading our church for almost 13 years. And before that, we were youth pastors. And Alan's mum and dad and Joanne's mum and dad, Pastor James and Mary, were leading our church. And Alan was a full-time accountant and I was full-time teacher at Bethlehem College. And in our spare time, on Tuesday and Saturday nights, we led the youth ministry like these guys are doing. And it was awesome. We loved it. And also, Alan with his accounting would see lots of businesses that were maybe in trouble or for sale or different stuff like that. And so, you know, we actually got involved in some businesses and bought some businesses one by one. And, you know, none of them flew. All of them bombed. The first one I remember, I worked in it for months and I never got paid. I'm still bitter. It's all good. And we lost about $15,000 on that. The second one, we lost $100,000, which was our house. And I didn't even want to talk about the third one. But do you know what? I think those challenges built faith in us. And I remember saying to Alan during the last one, which was about 10 or 12 years ago, that was the worst one, "Man, I feel like God is building faith in us right now. And I feel like he's putting faith in us for a building program." And we didn't have a building program at that point. But now, guess what? We've just had a building program. And we were going to continue having building programs. The next one I'm believing is here at Coast. But, you know, we couldn't have done these things that we've done by God's grace over the last 2 years, and other things he's calling us to, if we had not been through some challenges and some failing experiences. And we learned, you know, if you go, you didn't run from the fight, so you got beat up, you get up and have another go. You live to fight another day. If you get knocked down, you get up again. And God is gracious and he'll be with you. I reckon God just wants us to have a spirit of have a go. Have a go. That is such a Kiwi thing. But God can use that. He can use anyone who'll have a go. And if they have a go and get knocked down and they get up and have another go. Proverbs says that, though the righteous fall seven times, yet will they get up again. God loves someone who will just take a risk and have a go for him. Hands up if you're a parent. Oh, lots of us. Oh, aren't we lucky? You know, when your little baby, who's one, she's just turned one, and she tries to walk, she takes her first step, you know, you are so excited. It gladdens your heart. You're just so proud of her. And you get your phone out, and you're filming, and you post it on Instagram, and you're just so excited. And you're like, come on, baby, you can do it. But then she takes a step and stumbles and falls over and cries. And we don't go, ha, look at you, you fell down. What an epic fail. And take photos of her crying and put it on Instagram. Epic fail. Baby tries to walk, whatever. As if. You don't do that. You don't do that. You're just like, you're like, come on, it's okay. Get up, have another go. Because you know that one day she'll not only walk, but she'll run. If she just keeps going. And this is what the Lord is like with us. When we take a step of faith, He is cheering you on. He is your greatest cheerleader. He is committed to your success. He is for us. Who can ever be against us? And He knows if you just keep getting up again and having another go, you'll not only soon be walking, you'll be running. He knows if you just master it, you will master it if you just keep having a go. The Lord believes in you. He knows you can do what He has called you to do. And He is putting strength inside you now for any battles you're going to face in 2019. He will make you more than equal to them. God even allowed Joshua and his people to face some battles and some tests. Why? Why did God do that? Because God doesn't want His people to be soft and fat and lazy and scared and hiding. He doesn't want a bunch of spineless jellyfish. He wants an army who are strong, who are battle ready, who are full of faith and courage. So what does He do? He teaches us to fight. He lets us face some battles. And then He helps us win them. He makes sure we're not taken out in the battle. He helps us fight them. If you don't believe that this is what God allows us to go through, why don't you have a read of Judges 3, verse 1 and 2? And this is what it said. This is after Joshua in the book of Judges 3, verse 1 and 2. It said, "These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. God did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience." God wants to teach us warfare. He wants to teach us spiritual warfare. He wants us to learn how to face some hard times so He can teach us how to fight. He wants us to know how to stand up against the devil and pray and use the sword to stand on the word of His promises. Now, this concept messes with some Christians' theology. Some Christians believe that if a thing is hard, it can't be from God. They think God only wants them to have it nice and easy all the time. But doesn't the Lord just want me to be blessed and happy? Sometimes the path to blessing goes through the valley of hard times. And that's when we get desperate and we cry out to God in prayer. And that is when we learn how to fight and to stand firm and stand our ground. This is the good fight. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. God wants us to learn how to fight and how to pray and how to war in the spirit realm. So sometimes He will leave some hard stuff in our pathway. But it is in the hard times that we grow. It is in the hard times that the Lord forms His character in us. We learn perseverance. And God is making you into that strong, fearless warrior. This is who you are. This is who you are called to be. And this is who He is making you into in 2019. So you can say, move over, Dwayne Johnson. Move over, Wonder Woman. I'm coming through. Tell the person next to you she's talking about you. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and He is calling you to partner with Him. And lastly, we're going to briefly look at Peter. Let's look at Matthew 14. This is the New Testament one. Matthew 14, verse 22. To 33, you probably know this story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him. I think we're on the third slide. And go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost!" they said and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, Peter doesn't leave it there. Peter takes it one step further. "Well, Lord, if it's you," Peter said, "tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Jesus' word to us is always come. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And I've been over to Alan and I, the privilege of visiting Israel in the 90s, and we went for a little tour in a Jesus boat, and they found this boat one year when in the Sea of Galilee in the lake, when the tide was really, when the water levels were really low because of a drought, they found this boat, and they found out that it was from about the time of Jesus, so they called it a Jesus boat, and they made four replicas, and they called them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we went out for a little trip in one of them out into the lake, and they said, "This is the kind of boat that they would have got out of," because it was a Christian tour thing we were on, "to walk on the water to Jesus." And it was quite a big boat, and you would have had to climb over the side. It wasn't just like a dinghy to get out there. It had a sail and everything, and it was pretty amazing. And I think Peter, he got out of that boat, and he walked on the water to Jesus. Did you know Peter was the only mortal ever to walk on water? Because he wanted to be nearer Jesus. He said, "God, if it's really you, tell me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come," because Jesus always wants us to come nearer to him. Jesus is always trying to get us up and moving. He knows our tendency to settle down and play it safe. He encourages and applauds all our steps of faith. And we can read that story and say, "Ah, yes, but Peter, he sank, didn't he? He had unbelief and doubt and he sank. It was an epic fail." But I beg to differ, because Peter still walked on water. And none of us have done that. He didn't die. He didn't drown. Jesus didn't let him drown. Jesus caught him and put him back in the boat. And Peter was closer to the Lord because of it. He got right up closer to Jesus. He was closer to Jesus than all of the guys who stayed in the boat just watching. Do you know what? In 2019, we can stay in the boat and be a spectator and just watch others be a part of Jesus' supernatural miracles. Or we can actually get out of the boat and be a participator in all that Jesus is doing. It is only those who get out of the boat and respond to Jesus' call of come who experience the miracle. Those who stay in the boat only get to watch the others. And guess what? Peter was the one that God chose to lead the New Testament church in Acts. And Peter was the one who got to preach on the day of Pentecost and saw 3,000 people be saved and baptized. I reckon it's because Peter got out of the boat and had a go and took a risk and walked on water. Peter had the spirit of have a go. God can use someone, anyone, who will just have a go, who will just take a step of faith and courage. We can stay put or we can get out and move towards Jesus. It is our choice. But I implore you in 2019, don't just stay in the boat and watch others walking on water with Jesus. Step out of the comfort of your boat into all that God has for you. In the Gospels, we see Jesus had no time for people who wouldn't have a go. You know, if we read, we won't turn there now for time's sake, but in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, the parable of the talents, that's when Jesus told a story about the master, who represents God, giving three guys each a large sum of money. Two guys took a risk and invested it and multiplied it, but one guy did nothing, diddly squat. Who was the Lord angry and frustrated with? The one guy who did nothing. Don't be that guy. At least do something. Something is always better than nothing. And that something will take a step of faith and courage. Faith is the language God speaks. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Tell somebody, take the step. Take the step. Band, if you can come, please. Take that step. We've got to have a go and do something with what God has given us. He's given us a new year and it lies before us. Let's not do just the same old like last year. Let's not settle for the status quo. Let's have a go and step out in faith and courage into what he is calling you to do. Because there is yet more for you in 2019. And one parting thought I have is that the territory Joshua and God's people actually conquered and occupied was far less than what God promised them. Even under David and Solomon, they still did not fully possess all that God had for them, which God had promised to them and to the Abraham in his covenant with them in Genesis 15, verse 18 to 21. They still didn't get it all. They still didn't quite do it all. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get, when I get to heaven, and I don't want to, when I look at that big video screen of my life, I don't want to have God say to me, well, you did well, but look at this. There was so much more. I had all of this for you to possess, but you stopped short. You settled because you wanted to play it safe. You stayed in the safe comfort zone. No way. I want to spend and be spent for the kingdom of God. This is our time to give all and do all that God has got for us to do. When we finish our race, we want to finish with no gas left in the tank because we've given it all for him. We only have this life. Let's use it for the glory of God. Let's stand, shall we?